It's nice to be with you again this morning and be able to share with you from the Word. I had this privilege this weekend of going to a men's retreat over in West Virginia. The three together brought them from the Waynesboro meeting, and there were over 60 men there from all the West Virginia assemblies, and a few down from the Cleveland area and the Cincinnati area, and some up from Lexington. Brother Jack Spender from Connecticut was speaking on the priesthood of the believer. Encouraging time. About a half hour before we were to leave on Friday afternoon, our long-awaited computer arrived, and we're certainly thankful for that, and Lord willing, the first of the week, we'll be able to get it together and soon be able to get it phased into the Emmaus work. And we're certainly thankful for the Lord's provision in that line. Continue to pray for the prison ministry. I was talking to one brother just the other day that said that the government keeps coming out and saying that the crime rate is down, so it doesn't make sense that the number of prisoners keeps increasing. Somewhere there's a little, something not right there. But it's a sad situation. In West Virginia, they have right now, they just built a new state penitentiary about a year and a half ago, but they've kind of filled it, and they have 700 inmates sitting in county jails waiting to be transferred into the state penitentiary. And it's kind of a difficult situation, some of it because once they've been sentenced, it isn't always easy to keep them in the county jail. They had this Friday, kind of an uprising over Clarksburg at the Harrison County Jail with a bunch of inmates that are destined for state prison, and they had to put down the uprising. But it's a very serious and difficult situation going on all across the country. So be in prayer for the works that are reaching out to these men. If you noticed in the, maybe if you get the Mission Magazine, Brother Phil Wagner his commendation has really recently been changed, and he's going to be concentrating, he and his wife are full time in Russia. And so Brother Bob Irvine is taking over the Set Free Ministry in California and be taking care of the Emmaus courses in most of the western states. We had a change in Florida. A couple that had been in the work for a number of years retired, and we have another assembly down in Florida assumed the work, and so that's moving on without a break. There was another couple in Colorado who had not only part of Colorado but Illinois, and they've retired, but one of the other offices picked up that part of Colorado. But right now there is a need in Illinois. There's no one to cover the state of Illinois. So pray that the Lord, as a large state as that is, that the Lord will raise up someone to assume the ministry of reaching out to the prisons in Illinois. That's where the whole Emmaus prison work started, in Cook County Jail in Chicago. And it's a state with a lot of prisoners. And so I pray that the Lord will raise up someone to assume that part of the ministry. This morning, could we turn to the 111th Psalm? Psalm 111. This week we're celebrating in our country a holiday that, sad to say, probably a lot of the younger people in our country do not even have any idea what the meaning of it is. My wife heard in one of the programs on the radio the other day, and that on WCRH, where they tell, I guess it's on Dobson or something like that, and they were telling that in some of the places, the history books, they tell the children that the reason the pilgrims came to this country is because they like to travel. And you kind of wonder what the next generation is really going to understand about so many things that we are so thankful for in our country, but also in relation to the Lord. Because we have states where judges have ruled that prayers cannot be issued by anyone, and threatening to send undercover people in to watch for people praying. And yet, when you think that when the pilgrims came, they established thanks. George Washington proclaimed the day of Thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving. And many of our forefathers have, in their writings, we see how much they felt about the need to give honor to the Lord and to keep the Word forefront in our society, and yet today it's going downhill continuously. And to where Thanksgiving Day, probably to a lot of people, they don't even have the slightest idea what it means. But this little psalm this morning is a psalm that gives forth praise to the Lord. The little title in the Scofield is Praise for God's Wonderful Works, which certainly that's not inspired, but it does give an idea of what the little this psalm is about. So maybe we could read Psalm 111 this morning and think of some of the things about being a people of praise to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them who have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all of his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandment. His praise endureth forever. Let's just look to him in prayer. Our Father, we just thank thee again this morning for the opportunity that we have once again to come to thy, look into thy word. We thank thee, Father, for the truth that you've given us. Things that are there to encourage us, to give us, to uplift us in our everyday lives. They're there also to speak to our hearts and to show us when we're in error. And Father, most of all, we think of the fact that it shows us the way of salvation. We would praise to be even one individual here this morning who doesn't know thee as their own personal Savior, that today they might put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just now thank thee for this time that we have together and ask that all that's said and done might be to honor and glorify thee. In our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. How we need to be a people of praise. And the very first word, sentence there is an excellent exhortation, isn't it? Praise ye the Lord. It's something that we shouldn't really be reminded to do, but you know, we are kind of a forgetful people, aren't we? We kind of take for granted the blessings that the Lord bestows upon us, and how we need to have before our minds at all times the need to be praising and thanking the Lord for all that he has done. I guess we can see the examples of Israel. Their forgetfulness as a kind of an exhortation to ourselves. We look back to the book of Exodus and we see that how Israel had been under such great slavery in the land of Egypt, and Moses led them out of the land, and had hardly been out of the land before they began to complain. And over through their wanderings, as God blessed them in one way after another, as he would defeat their opponents, as he would feed them, as he would provide water for them, their hearts would be in an attitude of praise at the time, but then if you look through the scriptures, it's not more than a chapter later, or sometimes not just a few verses later, that they are complaining and complaining against the Lord and wondering why he brought them out there to suffer the things that they had to suffer. And so they were, in a sense, a very forgetful people. They were blessed in a wondrous way. No other people has been blessed in the way that Israel has. God brought them into their land, the promised land. He provided that land of milk and honey for them. And yet, after a number of years, they turned their back upon him, didn't they? To the place where the Lord had to allow them to be led into captivity by their neighboring nations. Instead of praising the Lord, they forgot the Lord and followed the ways of the world. And we as believers, I think many times, need to be reminded as well, and particularly as we think about the breaking of bread, to, you know, it's such a neglected thing in our world today. And yet, how we need to come together on the first day of the week to remember him. He asks us in his word, this do in remembrance of me. And yet so many Christians neglect it, forget it, refuse to acknowledge it, and how much blessing they miss out on because of it. and what a wonderful opportunity it is as we do come together and remember Him, to have His works brought before us, the works that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished there at Calvary. So as the psalmist writes, "Praise you, the Lord," I think it's an exhortation that each of us can take to heart in a day, you know, when we get so busy, there's so many things going on, and it's so easy just to take for granted the things that the Lord does day by day. And the psalmist says, "I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." How should our praise be? It should be wholehearted, shouldn't it? Not half-hearted. And I don't think when he says here wholehearted, he means some of the excesses that we see, emotional excesses that we see in the world today. Some of the things that, in a sense, almost bring dishonor upon the name of the Lord. I was reading of a group that just the other day that supposedly as they begin to get caught up in their worship of the Lord, they begin to bark like dogs and all other kinds of such things. This isn't praising Him from a whole heart, but it's with a deep gratitude for all that He has done in our lives and the salvation we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think sometimes we as believers can take maybe some examples from sports fans. You know, when a sports fan goes to a ball game, they're not half-hearted when they think about their favorite team, are they? They put their all into it, and they put their all into being rooting for their favorite team. And yet sometimes we as believers, maybe our praise to the Lord is a little just half-hearted. It's just tacked on at the end of a day, tacked on at the end of sometime. We say, "Well, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done." We don't really take time to stop and to meditate and to consider all the blessings that the Lord bestows upon us each and every day. You know, I doubt that any of us would have the paper to write down if we were to try and keep a record of every blessing, of everything that we should praise the Lord for that happens to us within a week. Because even every breath of air that we breathe, that's a blessing from Him, isn't it? It's a gift from the Lord. And so the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord with my whole heart." I was thinking of the people that Nehemiah brought back, and you don't have to turn to it, but just quickly I'll read a verse in the 12th chapter of Nehemiah. They had gone through all kinds of adversity. Nehemiah got the people back to the land. They had looked at the walls, and they were in such terrible condition. And yet they began to rebuild these walls. And as they rebuilt the walls, over and over they faced opposition. Opposition from without, opposition from within, as they began to tire. And sometimes it seemed like maybe the work was slow and tedious. But yet, soon, those walls began to take shape. The torn down parts were moved away. The walls were beginning to be built as they went up and up and up. And soon the walls were completed around the city of Jerusalem. In just a few short weeks, the work had been completed. And the people could have sat back and said, "Boy, we sure accomplished a lot. Look what we did. We were able to clear away all that rubbish. We were to build these walls. We certainly accomplished a lot in such a short time." But Nehemiah didn't let the people take time to think of themselves. He brought them together for a dedication of the wall. In Nehemiah 12 and 27 says, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals and psalteries, with harps." It was to be thanksgiving. And certainly it wasn't thanksgiving to themselves. No. In verse 43 it says, "Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God made them rejoice with great joy. And the women and the children rejoiced so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard, even afar off." Isn't that a wonderful picture? They looked at what had been accomplished, and they realized where the source of their accomplishment came from, and they rejoiced in the Lord. They praised Him for what they were able to do. And it says they rejoiced with great joy. It just wasn't with a little joy in their heart. They had great joy, so much so that it says there they were heard even afar off. You know, as we go about our lives day by day, do we let the joy of the Lord show forth so that those who we come in contact can see that we have something in our heart, that there's a joy there? You know, it'd be very easy to get caught up in the humdrum everyday things and to kind of let those things take over in our lives so that even those that are we meet would have no idea that we have a joyous heart, no idea that we have something special inside, no, that the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Sometimes we can just kind of allow ourselves to become just like the world. But these people were so thankful, so joyous over what had happened, that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. I think of the exhortation that the psalmist also gives in the 89th Psalm in the first two verses. He says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I said, mercy shall be all up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Our praise should be wholehearted, singing the mercies of the Lord so that every generation knows it, so that all those around us know that there's something different within our hearts, that we have something that the world doesn't have, and that we don't, when trial comes, when trouble comes, we don't let that affect us. But he says, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Because the Lord is faithful, isn't he? In his every work on our behalf, he's faithful. Whether it's something that we enjoy having to happen, or whether it's a testing that we must go through, the Lord is faithful in what he brings our way each and every day. And so the psalmist says, with my whole heart do I praise the Lord. And then we see in verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them who have pleasure therein. What a description of the Lord we have, isn't it? His works are great. As we think about day by day what we have in him, we realize just how great his works are. That we could never in our own self ever accomplish salvation, but yet a loving God gave it to us as a gift. It says in verse 3, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. As we think about that again should cause our hearts to praise, shouldn't it? It should give us a heart of praise to the Lord as we think that how honorable and glorious his work is. So in verse 4, he has made his work to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And again, I'm reminded of another verse back in third chapter of Ephesians that shows us just how great and wonderful is the work of the Lord on our behalf. So it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Day by day, as we walk this pathway of life, the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or even think. To imagine that whatever, however, the greatest thing we can think in our mind, our Lord is able to do even greater than what our mind is able to think. We certainly serve a wonderful Lord, and one who is due our honor and praise. But as we think about this psalm here, in those first few verses, he's bringing forth the fact that we need to praise the Lord. And then in the last half of the chapter, he brings forth three aspects, I believe, of the Lord's work that we are to praise. And in verse 5, we see a praise for the temporal things. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. We certainly can be thankful for those temporal things, can't we? That's what most people, when they think of Thanksgiving, will be celebrating, isn't it? They'll be thankful as they spread out the bounty on their table for the food that's before them, for the food that has been provided, for those that even take time to give thanks. And certainly, our Lord is due thanks for the temporal things. And certainly we have been blessed, haven't we? We can see His provision in every aspect of our lives. And probably except for Israel, has there been no nation so blessed as we have been here in the United States. When you read, study history, and you look at the history of our country as compared to the rest of the world, has there been a nation that has really been as blessed by the Lord as we have in such a wonderful way? And yet, so often I believe we take for granted the things that we have, don't we? The food. And it says we're told in the United States each day that we waste more food, enough food to feed many millions of people in some of the countries of the world. We have our homes. And certainly we thank the Lord for the homes we have. And yet, we have Brother Don DeWeese with us Wednesday evening, and as he was showing the slides from Brazil, they have some large cities there, some very modern cities. But some of the shanty towns, it's unbelievable, the poverty and the terrible poverty that's out there. And as we hear things coming in from some of the mission fields of Burundi and places like that, it's unbelievable what people are going through in these countries. And yet, day by day, do we really take for granted what we have in the fact of our shelter? Our health. Well, we can thank the Lord for every breath that we breathe, day by day. The freedom. Could be something that could be taken away from us. But really, we have an unparalleled freedom in this country, don't we, when it comes to our worship of the Lord. I don't believe there's been any other land that has been so blessed with the freedoms we have in the way of worship of Him. And yet, as a whole, this is taken for granted in our country. But these things that we have aren't guaranteed, are they? The Lord didn't say, now, I'm going to guarantee that you're going to have all the food you can eat. I'm going to guarantee you a nice home, and I'm going to guarantee you health, and I'm going to guarantee you freedom. No, these aren't guaranteed, because all we have to do is look around the world today and see that believers, it's not the unsaved, but believers are suffering in terrible ways. There are believers who have no place to live. There are believers who have not enough food to put on their tables. There are believers who, for fear of being thrown into jail, meet to worship the Lord in secret. And yet, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing in Philippians, he says, you know, I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul was, on the one hand, thrown out of cities, stoned. He was beaten, thrown into prison. And yet through all this, he was able to praise the Lord in all that he had. And so when we think of the temporal blessings that we have, how we need to praise the Lord for them and yet not take them for granted, not think that this is because we're such a good people we have these things, because there are certainly find Christians in other countries that would not begin to have what we have in this country. But as a people, I believe we need, as believers, we need to daily be aware of what the Lord has done for us and praise Him for it. And as a nation, we need to turn back to Him, don't we? As a nation, to thank the Lord for the way that He has blessed. In the way that He has blessed us in this country. And so there's a temporal aspect of praise to the Lord. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. But not only is there a temporal aspect, but in verse 6, we see that there's an aspect of the power of His works. He has shown His people the power of His works, that He may give them a heritage to the nations. The works of His hands are verity and justice. All of His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. The Lord exhibited His power for the children of Israel, didn't He? He was able to deliver them from slavery. He was able to bring them into their promised land. And His works were shown forth to the people of Israel. They couldn't overthrow the bonds of Pharaoh. But the Lord was able to do it. he was able to bring these things upon Egypt. And finally, with that 10th plague, Pharaoh says, get your people, Moses, and get them out of the land. And then as he changed his mind and pursued into the Red Sea, the children of Israel had no way to get across that sea. Mountains on every side of them, the armies of Pharaoh behind, and the sea before them. They saw the wonderful works of God as he opened the sea and passed them through. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they were taken care of. Sad to say, those who had refused to go into the land died there in the wilderness. But for 40 years, God cared for his people. And then he brought them into that land and divided it among them, defeating their foes. Certainly they saw the wonderful works of the Lord. And yet, in the end, they ended up in rebellion, didn't they? They ended up in rebellion against him, and because of it, they lost all that they had. But you know, today we can see the wonderful works of the Lord. We all only need to go outside to see the works of the Lord, don't we? To look up at the mountains, to look at the sky, and to realize that he is a creator who put all these things there. Despite what the world would say about evolution, we realize that there is a creator who made these things. And then as we think about our bodies, how complex they are, and every part working together. In our own bodies, we can see the power and glory of the Lord worked out. And in nature around us, we see his power. And yet, even in our own nation, I believe, in the establishment of it, we can see the power of the Lord working. As we think about those men who, under the yoke of England, decided to declare that independence. And in the Declaration of Independence, they gave all men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. They had recognized the Creator in the Declaration of Independence. When they came to write the Constitution, they put that amendment in there that said the Congress can't do anything to keep away the free exercise of religion. Though the courts are trying to do all they can today to do away with this. But yet, our founding fathers recognized the importance of the Lord and saw his power working. And down through the years in our country, in the over 200 years of our country's history, we've over and over seen the Lord help provide victory over foes in very difficult circumstances. Even in times where brother was fighting against brother, the Lord kept our country together. We can look at the technology of our nation. No other nation has been able to feed its people so as we have. And we can see the vast amounts of food that has been raised in our country and shared all around the world. The technology that's been developed in our country, I believe through the Lord working in the hearts of men, and yet that has been shared all around the world. No other nation on earth has been able to amass the wealth of the United States. And yet what has happened in our country? More and more there's rejection, isn't there? It's been a land of blessing for 200 years. A land where everyone in the world looked to go to as a place of promise. And yet, day by day, we see more and more rejection of that which our nation was founded on. I was reading in a commentary, an editorial by Cal Thomas, a Christian writer. And he was quoting from a speech that our president made a few weeks ago when he was speaking before a certain group, and he was talking about the need to evolve the immutable moral truths that we've had. And the question was, in the editorial, how do you evolve something that's immutable? I mean, if these moral truths are immutable, they're changeless, how can we evolve them? It's actually rejecting them, isn't it? To follow after man's own heart. And if we keep going the way that we're going, I think our nation is going to end up in judgment as Israel was. But we look around and we see the wonderful works of the Lord all around us. We see the wonderful way that He has worked in our nation, and yet so often it's rejected. But yet for His people, for His born-again people, how we need to look at the works of the Lord and go back again to that first verse, praise you the Lord. Because we can rejoice in the fact that we do have the freedoms we have. We don't have to hide. We come freely to meet like this. We can rejoice in what in all the blessings that we have in this nation. And as we praise the Lord for our nation, we can also pray for our nation, can't we? Pray that that there'll be a turning around from the way in which as a nation we're going. And so the Lord should be praised because of the works of His power. The works of His power that are evident everywhere. And then in the last few verses, the third area in which He is to be praised is the spiritual realm. He's to be praised in the temporal realm, to be praised because of His works, and then to be praised because of His spiritual blessings. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. We certainly have many spiritual blessings, don't we? As we think of all that the Lord has done for us. And the very first one is set forth here in verse 9. He sent redemption unto His people. For Israel, it was a redemption from the land of Egypt. It was taking to a promised land. For us, this morning, we can rejoice in the fact that we've been redeemed from the curse of sin. That we've been paid for, that the Lord, that we've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, that is the key for that, that we can rejoice in, isn't it? The key thing that we can praise the Lord for is our redemption. And I would hope that every one of us here today can say, that's something I can rejoice in today. I know I've been redeemed. I know I'm part of His family. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but maybe there's someone in amongst us this morning and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you go about your life and you say, I'm certainly thankful for the physical things that I have, for the life and the food and the home and everything I have. I can certainly see that there's a God out there working, and I'm thankful for that. But maybe you've never come to the place of where you realize that God wants to be your Savior. Where you realize that, according to the Scriptures, you're lost. That you're lost and on your way to a crisis eternity. You know, there are so many people in the world today that think that, you know, we'll get along just the way that that we're doing. We'll be fine. When we get to the end of our lives, we'll be fine. My brother last year moved down to South Carolina, and in the area where he lived in, there are churches everywhere. He said it's a very religious area, but very little gospel is preached. And most of the people think, you know, I go to church on Sunday, and I just live my life the rest of the week, and what I do, it's going to be okay. When I get to the end of my life, it's going to be okay with God. And so many people think that. But the Scripture tells us that sin entered into the world, doesn't it? We can go back to the book of Genesis, to the very beginning of our Scriptures. And we see that sin entered into the world. And with sin came death. And all people, everyone born throughout all history, is lost. The Scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm sure there's not one of us here this morning who would stand up and say, no, I've never sinned. I've never done anything wrong. We would all have to admit that we can know that we've done wrong. And as those who've done wrong, the Scripture says that we're lost. That we have no hope. That we're aliens. That there's no way that we could have peace with God. But oh, in His wondrous love, God desired that we would be able to, that fellowship would be able to be restored. That we would have, that gulf could be fixed. And so He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And on that cross, He suffered for us. He gave Himself that we might have eternal life. As we read the New Testament Scriptures, the story of the crucifixion, we see all the terrible things that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the people that turned their backs upon Him. We see the mockery that was given to our Savior. We see those Roman soldiers as they so mistreated Him, as they led them out of the city, up to Calvary, as they laid Him on that cross, as they nailed those nails through His hands and His feet. We see Him standing around the cross, making fun. And oh, how cruel and awful these things were. The pain was felt by our Savior, even though He was very God. But yet there, as He hung on that cross, something very special happened. As the Lord Jesus Christ hung there that day, He took the penalty for our sin. He became our substitute. He took our place, and He paid the price that we deserve to pay. As guilty sinners, we deserve nothing. But the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for us at Calvary. And He was taken from that cross after He died, placed in the grave, and on the third day He arose again, victorious over death. So that today, anyone who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ can be assured of eternal life. And so that we could say, He sent redemption unto me. And so I can praise the Lord because of that redemption. Maybe there's one person here this morning. You've never come to the point in your life before you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've put it off. You've thought about it. You've rejected it. You thought you'd wait till later. You know, there is no later. The Scripture says now is the accepted time. You have no guarantee of what's going to happen to you tomorrow, this afternoon, in the next hour. The Lord Jesus Christ could return, or any one of us could be taken to eternity and death. And so the question of that we want to ask your own heart this morning is, am I part of this family? Am I a redeemed one? Am I one who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? Accepted that gift that He offered by giving Himself there at Calvary. If you can't say yes, then we would encourage you right now where you sit just to bow your head and your heart and tell the Lord that you want Him to forgive you of your sin. Ask Him to come into your life and to save you. And the Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. Not might be, not possibly be, but if you receive Him, you will be saved. That's what you have to do this morning. If you're here without Him, why not receive Him today before it's eternally too late? And for those of us who know Him, we can go out today, can't we? With that song in our heart, He has sent redemption to His people. Praise you, the Lord. We can praise Him for this most wonderful of all the spiritual gifts that He gives us. That we have redemption through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're here today without the Savior, why not receive Him? Either I or one of the other brethren would be glad to sit down with you after the meeting and take the Word of God and show you how you can be sure of having your sins forgiven. But don't leave without talking to someone. Don't leave without getting this question settled in your life. If the Lord Jesus Christ should return today, or if something should happen to me today, would I go to be with Him? Or would I be lost for eternity? If you can't answer that question, yes, I know I'd go to be with Him. Why not purpose in your heart to make sure that your life is right before Him today, to receive Him as your own personal Savior? Oh, He loves you so much. He gave Himself that you might have eternal life. And He offers it to you as a free gift. Nothing you have to pay, nothing you have to earn, but it's freely. All you have to do is to receive it. For those of us who have it, how we need David today to praise Him and thank Him for it, for the blessings that He bestows. Let's just look to Him in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Your wondrous blessings. We just praise Thee for all that Thou hast done on our behalf. As we think about this time of the year when our country has a day to celebrate Thanksgiving, and yet in such a way that it's not really, many times, not really even a thanksgiving to Thee, we realize that day by day, throughout the year, we as believers can come with hearts of thanksgiving, praising Thee for all Thy wondrous works. As we think of the physical and temporal blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us, as we see the wondrous works of Your power around us, as we think of the spiritual blessings You bestow upon us, how we can just praise Thee for it. And Father, again, we would pray that be just one person among us today who has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you may not let them have peace nor rest in their life until they've found the assurance of knowing their sins forgiven. Again, we just give thee thanks in our Savior's wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen.